All right, if you have your Bibles with you, if you would, turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I thought about teaching today on kind of what the text that we've been learning from in Vacation Bible School, which is Acts number 27, but I think I decided to save that for the VBS recap coming up this Sunday evening, and I decided to go a little bit of a different route and go to Romans chapter 1 today. And you know, there's a verse that we're going to be reading from that's commonly read, commonly memorized, and I think most of our boys and girls probably have this verse memorized. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And if you know it, say it with me, or if you're at your Bible, read it with me. It says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We have that verse is often a very common cross-reference that we turn to in a lot of messages, and it's referenced a lot, but I don't think I've ever heard at least I haven't heard a message just preached on that one verse, just breaking that verse down a little bit at a time. And that's what I would like to do today. I'd like to take this verse. It's just going to be our text, that one verse, Romans 1:16. Like I said, I'm sure many of you know it by heart, but I want to look at it more closely today, and I'd like to think about the fact that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of God. Paul made it clear. If he was given the opportunity to visit to Rome like he wanted to, he would be preaching the gospel, uncompromised, not watered down. In our lessons each day in Vacation Bible School, the kids are learning about the journey that Paul took to Rome. Many people don't know that on Paul's journey to Rome, he was faced with all kinds of trials. The sailors of the ship ran into the middle of a terrible storm, unlike anything that we probably ever could imagine. It went on for days and days and days, and eventually they were shipwrecked. Eventually they were placed on the island of Melita for several months before they were finally able to get another ship to continue their journey. All the while, of course, Paul was a prisoner, but he was excited about the opportunity to go to Rome. It didn't matter what the obstacles were, he wanted to get there. Why? Because he wanted the opportunity to go to these people, the people that he wrote this book to, the people of Rome, and be able to give them the gospel, to be able to give them the gospel. It was so important to him. Look at verse number 15. Paul says this, "So much as in me is, everything in me," he says, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." That I preach the gospel everywhere I go, and as much as in me is, I can't wait to get to do it to you guys too. He was all about preaching the gospel. It's unfortunate though, and it's alarming to me how many, you know, Bible believing evangelical churches today they're afraid to just preach the whole gospel of Christ. Just preach the gospel. There's a movement today, and it's not just been today, it's been around for a long time, that basically teaches that we need to do as much as we can to attract the people from the world into the church, make them feel as comfortable as they can so that we can help our churches grow. And I think that we should love people who come into our building and we should make them feel comfortable. But up to a certain point, if it gets to the point that we are never preaching the truth of the gospel of Christ, it's gone too far. And if you're worried about making sure people feel comfortable and making sure they feel loved, they should feel comfortable and they should feel loved, but we have to get to the point that they understand their need of a Savior and what are they being saved from. And Paul gave the whole gospel. He was passionate about preaching the gospel. You see, here's the deal. If we don't preach the gospel, if we don't preach the cross, we have nothing. We have no reason to be here today. We have no power whatsoever, and that's what I want to talk about today. Vacation Bible School is great. Outreach events like Walk Through Bethlehem are great. Programs are great. Things like Awana are great. All of these things that we do, activities, events. But if your church is built off of activities and events that are fun and that are exciting but don't get the gospel to people, well, they're really worthless. You might be growing numerically, but the people aren't growing spiritually. People aren't being saved. But the trend is not only apparent in churches, it's apparent in Christian literature. Most of the Christian top sellers today portray a warm and fuzzy God who loves everyone and wants to make everyone's life better. That's really what it's all about. He just wants to make your life better, wants to make you happy. But sin That's mysteriously absent most of Christian literature today. You don't hear a lot of stuff about sin. The cross work, the cross, it's nowhere to be found. Christian music is no different. Listen to the Z for an hour. Try to count how many times Christ's name is mentioned or how many times the cross is sung. You'd be lucky if you can count, if you need more than your 10 fingers, to be honest with you. You'll hear about how awesome he is or how awesome it is to be close to him or how awesome it is to be loved by him. But oftentimes that he could just as well be a boyfriend as God. The song could fit just as well if it was being sung to anybody else. But the name of Christ, the cross, the blood, you don't hear it as often. What's my point? The point is this, is that Satan is trying to, and he's succeeding at, moving the church away from the gospel of Christ. We're being fed a lie. We're being fed the lie that we can reach more of the world if we stay away from the things that offend the world, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ. But all throughout Paul's books, if you look throughout his books, especially the book of Romans, he makes it clear. We cannot make a difference on the world if we don't preach the gospel. And I want to see why today. And this verse tells us why. There's four main reasons why. The gospel is necessary, and we cannot change lives without the gospel. Number one, here's the reason why. Number one, because only the gospel gives us the power of God. Only the gospel gives us the power of God. Why must we stay dedicated to preaching the gospel of God? Because it's the only thing that can give us the power of God. Look it back at our text again. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed," Paul says, "I'm not embarrassed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the," what's the next word? It's the power, Paul says. He didn't say that the gospel has the power. He said it is the power. The power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is found. Apart from the gospel, the Christian has no power with which to influence the world. Listen, programs, activities, special events are great, but the power of God is going to be found not in these devices, but in the gospel being preached. We can have vacation Bible school, and we can have this set up, which I think the decorating team did a great job with this, don't you think? Give them a big round of applause for what a great job this is. My wife was the decorating team leader, so maybe I'm a little partial, but I think it is pretty awesome. The crafts are great. The snacks are yummy. I always find a way to sneak into the snack area once a day to get myself a little fix on my Nutter Butter bar that I love so much. Those things, kids love those things. The games are a blast. They're having a great time in there. And we need to do all those things. But if we don't ever give them the gospel, they don't ever learn about Jesus Christ and what he did for them on the cross and their need of a Savior, well, then we've missed the boat. No pun intended. We've missed the boat if we go there, because the power of God is found in the gospel. The power of God is found in the gospel. All throughout Scripture, we read of God's great strength and his might. In Genesis, we see God create everything, the entire universe, with just his words, with just his spoken voice. We see him flood the entire earth with a worldwide flood later in Genesis. In Exodus, we see him raise up the waters of the Red Sea for Israel to walk across on dry ground. In Joshua, we see God keep the sun from moving so that Israel could win a battle against a heathen nation. In the New Testament, we see Christ calming the waves with merely his voice. We want to talk about power. What strength, right? But that same power, that same strength is wrapped up in the gospel. But the Bible says it is the power of God. That same power that raised up the waters of the Red Sea, that same power of God that spoke the universe into existence, is the same power that we have on our side when we preach the gospel, when we tell others about what Jesus Christ has done, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Hey, you might think that you're not adequately gifted and talented to lead someone to Christ. You know, we had some teen girls who my mom was talking to today, I know, and she was giving them instruction on how to lead a child to the Lord if a child was to come forward for salvation. I know they were kind of nervous about that. What if I don't know what to say? Maybe you felt that way. It kind of worries me. It scares me to be the one to have to lead someone to Christ. I'm not really the one who's made out for that. I'm not fit for that. I'm not talented enough. I'm not a speaker. You don't have to be. It's not about you. It's about the gospel. The Bible says the power isn't found in Clint Proctor. Power isn't found in you or myself. It's found in the gospel. You can be the most simple-minded person in the world. That's pretty close to me. But you preach the gospel and you can do great things. Not because of you, because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as the gospel is preached, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit does with it. He takes it and he convicts hearts. He convicts little hearts like the kids we're having here on Tuesday through Saturday. And he convicts old hardened hearts that maybe have been hardened and have been turned away from the Lord for years and years and years. But you tell them about what Christ did on the cross, how he died for the sins of the world, how he died for them. It has the power to break down that hardened heart. But it's not about us. It's about the Lord. The gospel isn't complicated. By the world standard, it's probably too simplistic, but that's the way God intended it for it to be. God never intended for us and for our intelligence and for our abilities to be the focus, to be the show. The focus was always meant to be on the message, not the messenger. That's what God wanted. Go with you, if you would, go with me over to 1 Corinthians, over one book. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we're going to look at starting verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. I want you to notice all the times that Paul notes that the gospel is the power. The gospel is the strength. The gospel is the might. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. If you're there, say amen. All right, here we go. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness, it's silly, it's too simple. But unto us which are saved, it is the," what's the next word? "It's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? There's a lot of people out there who think they're wise, but God said they're not the ones who are going to be changing people's lives. I'm going to use those who might seem simple, might seem foolish. All they have to do is just preach the cross. That's what I'm looking for. Just preach the cross. I'm going to confound the wisdom of the wise, he says, and I'm going to use people who can just preach the cross. Verse number 21 says this, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom," in other words, by our own brain power and by our own intelligence, "knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of" what? "By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, they require a sign. And the Greeks, well, they seek after wisdom. They just want to be smarter. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, it's Christ," the what? "The power of God and the wisdom of God." And I love this verse. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than" what? "Men." I love that verse. "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." We're not going to be proud of ourselves. We're going to glory in the Lord. Verse number 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the" who? If you're going to glory, glory in the Lord, because he's the one that gives the power to see souls saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." You see, when you preach the gospel, it unleashes the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is unleashed to be able to convict hearts and change lives. So we have seen, first of all, that the gospel, it is the power of God. That's why we got to stay dedicated to preaching the gospel of Christ. We can't water that down because it's the only thing that has the power of God, and it is the power of God. But number two, I want to notice this, because only the gospel can bring salvation. Only the gospel can bring salvation. Keep your bookmark or your hand in 1 Corinthians, and then let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 1. Keep your bookmark or your hand in 1 Corinthians, and then let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 again. We just read the first part of the verse, and we're going to go a little further this time. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And we read, "For it is the power of God." But now we're going to read the next two words. What's the next two words? "Unto salvation." What is the power of God there for? It's to bring people to salvation. Paul makes it clear, only the gospel of Christ can lead people to salvation. Ephesians 1:13 says this, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. If you would, now go to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15 this time though. Chapter 15. I want to look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Only the gospel can bring salvation. Nothing else. We can do a lot of cool things, a lot of crazy fun things that we might think are pretty smart, but we got to stick to the gospel. That's got to be the core, because it's the only thing that can bring salvation. Look, if you would, with me at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, in wherein you stand, by which also ye are what? By what? By the gospel. It's by the gospel that you're saved, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, he says. And what's the gospel? Verse number 3, for I delivered it unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel of Christ. Here's the thing, guys. We can invite people to church. We can invite people to our life group. We can invite them to walk through Bethlehem. We can invite them to Vacation Bible School. But if we care about souls, we got to eventually take this responsibility upon ourselves that I got to share the gospel. It's not up to just the pastor's job. It's not just the children's director's job. It's not just Pastor Rob, the youth pastor's job, to preach the gospel. I got to care about souls. I have to care about my neighbor. I have to care about my friends. I got to care about my coworkers. And I got to not just, it's great to invite them to church. It's great to say, hey, come see us for our Easter service. That's a great start, man. That's awesome. But eventually, man, if we care about those people in our lives, we got to take that next step. We got to get to Christ. We got to get to what he did in the cross. If we don't ever go there, what if they never step in the door? What if they never come to our church? You can't rely on my dad to always be the one to preach the gospel. We can't rely on the youth pastor to do it. Can't rely upon me. We got to take that step, because it's the only thing that can save souls. If we care about souls, we got to do it. Only the gospel of Christ. Only the gospel of Christ has the power of God. Only the gospel of Christ can bring salvation. And number 3, only the gospel of Christ can change lives. Only the gospel of Christ can change lives. I want to notice something interesting. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Again, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, that's number 1, to salvation, that's number 2, and then let's notice this, what's the next two words? To everyone that believeth. Why do I find that interesting? I find it interesting because then Paul continues throughout the rest of the chapter to talk about how sinful mankind had become, how bad people had become. Look at verse number 18. Right after he says it's the gospel of God, of Christ, that of God that saves anybody who believes, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. God says you can look at creation and know that there's a creator, there's a God. There's no excuse for their rebellion, for their turning away from me. Number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of God, the glory of the incorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's talking about idols there. We as people, they built idols of things like animals, birds, four-footed beasts, all things that were created by God. We began worshiping those things. People began worshiping things that God created. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Verse number 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, like I just said, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And as you continue to go throughout this chapter, you see how bad mankind had become. Look at verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. That means you don't keep your word. You don't keep your promises. You don't keep your promises. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do they do it, but they like other people that do it. It makes them happy to find other people who do the same things that they do. If you go over to chapter 3, he just keeps on rolling. Verse number 10 of chapter 3 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat's an open sepulcher. It means everything they say just brings forth death. Their mouth, that's a pretty vivid illustration, right? Their mouth is an open sepulcher. Wow. With their tongues, they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they've not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Sounds like the world today. Sounds like me. Sounds like you. Sounds like everyone. We're all sinners, the Bible says, for all have sinned. In verse number 23 of this same chapter. Yet, despite how sinful mankind was, Paul knew how sinful mankind was. Would you agree? We just read about 50 verses with Paul telling you, I know, guys, mankind is sinful. People have really fallen. People have gotten so far away from God. It is disgusting. It's sad. Their mouth is an open sepulcher, he says. There's no fear of God. But he started this whole book. Started the whole book in verse number 16 by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. All those people I'm getting ready to talk about, which is you, Romans. He knew the Romans were going to fit that description. Every one of you can be saved if you just believe. These kids who come to Vacation Bible School, a lot of these kids are behind the eight ball, man. They have a lot of tough home lives. There's things that they go through that I hear about that break my heart each and every week. Not knowing where they're going to be living sometimes from week to week. DCF is in and out. We see them, they're seeing their parents many times act out things that they should never be seeing. And you think to yourself, man, whew, they're already behind the eight ball. You already see them beginning to do things that they shouldn't be doing at younger ages than ever before. I was talking to someone last week on bus visitation, and her daughter had a friend who was 11 years old who was doing things that I never would have thought about when I was 17, 18 years old. I mean, it scares me sometimes. And you think, man, it's hopeless. No, it's not. No, it's not, because the gospel of God brings the power of salvation to everyone that believeth. It's never too late. Not too late for these kids, and it's definitely not too late for anybody that you know in your life. The gospel of God can change lives. Here's my point here. Here's my point. Many well-meaning Christians, they truly believe, I mean, they're well-meaning. They truly believe that we can reach more lost people by watering down the gospel. They see that, you know, the entertainment-driven programs, they increase attendance. They bring in more people. It's how many megachurches are built. The numbers indicate that this philosophy works. I mean, it fills pews, puts rear ends in the bleachers, as they say, in the sports world. But the truth is that the pews are filled with people many times who aren't changing. The pews are filled with people who are no different than when they first walked in 2, 3, 4 years ago to churches. The pews are filled with people who are not getting any help with their addictions to drugs, alcohol, pornography, Brother Shannon. The pews are filled with people who are not getting any help with their marriage struggles. The pews are filled with people who aren't becoming godly parents. The pews are filled with people who have not gained a healthy fear of God. That's what happens when we move away from the gospel of God. We simply move from a world full of lost people to a church full of lost people. We simply help the lost to feel more comfortable about their sin. If you want your family to change, if you want your coworkers to change, if you want your neighbor to change, only this book right here I have in my hand, only this book, the Bible, has the power to change lives. It's our only weapon. So we've seen we have to stay dedicated to the gospel of God, because it's the only thing that has the power. It's the only thing that can bring salvation. It's the only thing that can change lives. But number four, my final point is this, because only the gospel transcends time and culture. Only the gospel transcends time and culture and age, I might add. If you would, let's look at our verse one more time. And this is a part of the verse that's often kind of ignored. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And let's read the next phrase, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, we've made our way through the entire verse now. Now we get to this last sentence that's our phrase that's often overlooked, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I know there's some dispensational application there that we could go to, which would be a great message for another time, but I'd like to focus on this. I'd like to focus on this. Do you know the Jews and the Greeks were very different people? You know, they had a very different way of life. The Jews, man, they were all about their laws. They were all about their commands. They were all about looking for signs from God. They were all about following the laws to the letter. That's how you achieve righteousness and salvation. The Greeks, on the other hand, they're all about wisdom. They're all about learning. They have a whole different background. They have a whole different history, whole different culture. But yet God says the gospel of God can reach both of them. It reaches anyone in any culture. You know what? I can go to Guatemala, and this outfit right here would look a little strange over there. But you know what? The gospel of God would be the same. I'd preach the same gospel, and it will change their hearts just as much as anybody in the United States. 100 years ago, things changed with the times. 100 years ago, you know, having air conditioning would have been rare. The technological devices that we use to read our Bibles with would have been pretty strange to a Christian 100 years ago. What in the world is that? What's a smartphone? What's an iPad? But you know what? The gospel of God stays the same. It's the same gospel that we were preaching 100 years ago, 500 years ago, at the time of Christ, the same gospel that Paul was preaching. It does not change. Doesn't change. The gospel transcends time, it transcends culture, and it transcends age. The same gospel that we preach to these kids is the same gospel that you can preach to any adult or a senior citizen in a nursing home today. It's the same gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so simple that a child can understand it, but it's sometimes so simple that an adult won't believe it because they want something a little bit more complicated, a little bit more difficult for them to prove how good they are. But you know what? The fact is that the gospel, it doesn't change. The methods may change, but as the old slogan says, change the method, but not the message. And here, we have an interesting method during Vacation Bible School of getting the gospel to the kids. We have crazy decorations. We have silly skits with Skipper and Gilligan that are crazy. We have Bible skits that we dress everybody up in Bible costumes. And we do all these things to attract the kids in. But let me tell you something right now. No boy and girl is going to leave from this week that hasn't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're all going to hear the gospel. The method might change of how we preach it. You know, I'm not probably going to go into the neighborhoods with a bullhorn and wait for the kids to come out and say, come over here so I can tell you how you won't go to hell, because I probably would get arrested in some of the neighborhoods that I go to. In fact, I know I would. It wouldn't go over well. Maybe it would have 100 years ago. It wouldn't go over too well today. Vacation Bible School is a great way. Awana is a great way. Some of the ministries we have here, like Walk Through Bethlehem, are a great way to be able to get people to our church. The methods change, but the message never changes. The message always stays the same. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The point is, though, here's what I want you to know. Point is, the gospel works. It really works. Isn't that awesome? On any group of people, in any time, it's always relevant. The gospel will never be outdated. Praise the Lord for that. And we had 4 young children come forward today to trust Christ as their Savior because the gospel works. Because the gospel works. We've seen 4 reasons why. Amen. That's right. We've seen 4 reasons why we got to preach the gospel. But you know, as I've been preaching today, maybe you think to yourself, maybe you've been thinking to yourself, isn't it a shame how many pastors aren't preaching the gospel today in churches? But the point of this message wasn't to make you think of how others are missing the boat. That wasn't the point of this. The fact of the matter is that we as church members oftentimes get lazy. We get so content with coming to church on Sunday, getting our bagel, sitting in our life group, sharing our prayer request, going to church, enjoying the music, hearing the message, go home on the car ride, discuss the message, go to Dustin's, get some barbecue, go home, watch some football, come back, maybe do it again Sunday night if we feel up to it. Definitely come on Wednesday to get a full meal, you know, for eLife during the fall. Get some food, go to a nice class, learn something, makes us feel good, and then do it again the next Sunday. And we get in that rut over and over and over again, and we never think about the responsibility we all have upon ourselves to preach the gospel. Paul, over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to read you a bunch of verses. It might bore you. I'm not going to go too long because I will bore you. But I want to read you 5 or 6 different places where Paul talked about how important preaching the gospel was to him. A few of them are right here in Romans, in the book of Romans. We'll look at them in just a second. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says this. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." In other words, I'm not proud of myself for preaching it. Like, oh, yay, I told someone about Jesus today. I feel so much better when I go to bed. No, he says, "Necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." I got to do it, he says. Woe unto me if I don't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 says this. "And for me, that utterance," he said, "pray for me, Ephesians, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Pray that I'll be bold about it, he said. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2 says this. Paul says, "Even after we had suffered before," he's talking about when he was in Philippi and they were beaten and thrown in jail just for helping somebody. "Even after we had been suffered before, we were shamefully entreated," Paul said, "at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." I love that last phrase. It's like, we were bold unto you to speak the gospel of God with much contention. In other words, there was a lot of people, there was a lot of naysayers. He had a lot of people who were against him. He said, "I don't care. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel whether people like it or not." 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, 2 verses later says this, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." And then he told Timothy, his son in the faith, he said, "Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Don't be ashamed of me as prisoner, but instead be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You notice he didn't say be thou partaker of the afflictions of church. The Bible doesn't promise us that just going to church is going to bring afflictions. It never does. You can go to church, maybe have a good time, and actually it might make you feel better. But if you start preaching the gospel, you're probably going to have some people who are not going to like it. Going to have some people who are going to be offended by that. They don't want you to go, you know, spout in your mouth about what you think about the Lord. You do your thing on Sundays, but leave me to whatever I want to do. Paul said, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He said, "It's going to be tough, but hang in there with me, Timothy. Don't give up on the gospel. It's worth it." The world can't be saved apart from the gospel of Christ, but they can't hear without a preacher, the Bible says. One of our key verses this week that the kids are going to memorize on Friday is this. If you would turn to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, our last passage we'll turn to, Romans chapter 10. The kids are going to memorize this verse on Friday. Our Bible point is going to be on that day, tell the good news. Tell the good news. We want the kids to tell the good news. Let's start, if you would, in our memory verse that the kids are going to memorize, verse number 14. How they're going to memorize the second half of this verse. This is a pretty long verse. "How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed?" And then look at, this is the part they're going to memorize. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what?" How are people going to hear if nobody tells them? And then he says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I just got to say this, man. The world in this church needs more preachers of the gospel. It needs more people who have beautiful feet, as we learned about in a message a long time ago. People who have the boldness to say, "I'm going to tell the good news." That's why we have a bus, so we can preach the gospel. That's why we have Awana. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. And I ask you for this. I ask you to pray for those who are going to be here the next 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and going to be talking to the kids about Christ. And when kids come forward, the ones who are going to be dealing with them and helping them understand Christ as their Savior. Because let me tell you something right now. If we can get these kids saved and following Christ at a young age, what a difference it could make in our world. And we got to pray for these kids. You know what? Here's the thing. I know the teens got really challenged about this at camp. We got to care, and if we care, we got to pray for it. We got to pray, and I ask you to pray. And I ask you to maybe get involved in somewhere to be, where you can be involved in preaching the gospel, but it's church, but most of all, just in your personal lives. Even if you don't get involved in the children's ministry or the teen ministry or anywhere else, any ministry, ministry is just telling others about Christ. That's ministry. And as long as you do that, you're making a difference on this world, because it is the power of God. Amen.